Man, doesn't it feel good to just not care about what somebody's thinking about what you're doing? Because everybody else is doing it. And if we abided in the model of the church, then nobody should give any regard to what the one next to them is doing. He said, give no regard. I don't look to the left or to the right, but I look to Jesus. He is my everything. You can lower your hands if you wish, and you can be seated if you want to, but those that will step out and make themselves to be identified as someone who believes, those are the ones that walk with favor. Those are the ones that walk with power. Those are the ones that the lost and dying world can see and be drawn by. I've said this before, the repetition of habit establishes character. The more that you'll give no regard, the more comfortable you'll be doing it. The less that you worry about others, the more that you'll be obedient. Stop looking at somebody else and wondering if they're going to judge you, and step out and do what you know that God spoke to you. If I worried about others, you wouldn't be hearing this word tonight. If I worried about people, I would have never preached. If I worried about anything, I wouldn't get up here and make a fool of myself. But I count myself to be a part of that number, the number that is foolish, the number that is crazy, the number that is different. Somebody needs to get a hold of this. I am a part of that number. I choose to go the way that leads unto righteousness. I choose to go the way that leads me to change my daily life.
Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. That means, get a clue, church, you already know better. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That means the church. You're a part of this church. You are a part of the body. How? Because we're of the same Spirit. The same Spirit that we feel together and speaks to us together is the same Spirit that we need to obey God in together and do what the Lord would have us to do. I will to God that somebody get a hold of this, that you put down these demons that have kept you bound long enough. I want you to know that in the name of Jesus, they that will believe will be set, they'll be set free. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together. That means we're meant to serve together. We are molded to complement one another. No matter what walk of life you came from, God has made it in such a way. Grab somebody by the hand for 5 seconds. We're made to be as one. We are made to be as one body. We're made to walk in this thing together. We're made to praise him together. We're made to not give in when the world says give in. We're made to be overcomers by the power of God, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of what we've been through. In whom ye are also built together, get this, for a habitation of God through the what? The Spirit. We are knit together as a group of people. No Jew nor Gentile. Paul's saying, get past what somebody else has done. Get past where they came from. Get past all the mistakes they made and become the perfectly fit, framed model that I intended you to be. And when that model comes together and when that bottle is ready to receive the new wine, then God begins to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He's not going to pour it out on a complacent church. He's not going to pour it out on a church that don't want it. He's going to pour it out on somebody that needs and wants God to move. I feel like moving and reading this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. I'm going to be seated if you want, and then we're going to get back up shortly. Do you feel the power of God in this place? I'm glad, because, man, it sure feels good. Chapter 4, the last thing we read, if you're writing it down, was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. Now we're going to move on into the letter. I'm not going to go through the part where Paul talks about his testimony. I want to make sure that we have enough time for altar service. So we're going to go on to chapter 4, verse 17. He opens up the truth now. He's exhorted them in prayer. He's reminded them of what they've been through. He's told them that there's no separation between them, that they're hindered in being able to serve together. Now that he's got all of these out of the way, Paul begins to open up the real instruction to the knitted up church. And this is what we need to heed to, church. Hear this, because if you'll heed to this word I'm about to read, then you will be a separate person from this world. How many of you know that and can say amen? Amen. This I say therefore, chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore in testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. There are people that are sitting at home right now that don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to do anything. They're dwelling in torment. They're dwelling in darkness. And there needs to be a Paul somewhere, somebody, that goes out unto those that are trapped in the pit. I'm telling you, that's where God found me, and that's where I received the Holy Ghost. It wasn't in the altar. It was in a living room. God found me in my pit where I was, and he delivered me by the power of the Spirit. And I didn't just feel it. I didn't just hear it. But I obeyed it. And I said, God, if the Holy Ghost is for me, I want it. And God, if wisdom is for me, then I want it. Take me all the way, Lord. If I've got to crawl, if I've got to roll the floor, if I've got to sweep a broom inside of the church house, I'm going to do your will. We need to return to our first love. We need to get back to where we'll be willing to suffer the consequences of the world, that we will receive a crown of life. You know what the jewels are in the crown of life? When diamonds are put in the press, and over years of time they begin to be refined into something that is precious. And the jewels of the crown of life represent patience, represents suffering, represents refinement. Hallelujah. Patience, long suffering, and forgiveness will bring you the crown of life, ornated with great precious jewels. You receive the crown being tried by fire, but you don't get ornated on your crown with jewelry until you go through the press. That is daily sanctification, until you have endured this thing to the end. God said he'd be with you through all of it. Say all of it. He said he'd be there with you through all of it. That's how you walk around with a crown that you're proud of, and not just a gold crown. Don't just go through the fire, but enjoy it. He said, rejoice concerning this fiery tribulation which is upon you. Rejoice. How can you rejoice if you're going through the fire except you know of where you've already been for it to bring you out? Verse 18, we're going to do this. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They can't see the way. So they don't know the way that leads to life. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, celebrating the good times back in the day, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It might have been something you did 20 years ago, but if you celebrate it and give it glory, it still has the power to tempt you. You might not be as good looking as you were 20 years ago, but can still tempt the lust of your flesh. I don't care how old you are. There are people that are going through divorces due to the wickedness of adultery today. People that's been married 20, 30, 40 years, seeing wickedness seep into their home in a way that they never thought would. But when you glory in the person that you used to be for so long, then you want to feed the person that you used to be instead of feeding the person that you are today. God does not save you and leave you back there, but through the Holy Ghost has led you out unto something greater, that you would be a better person than you were back then. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That means no lying, no hiding, no trying to prove yourself in this world. Not having to hide from the fact that you love God. If you love God, show that you love God. You might get fired from one job because you say you love God, but he'll supply all of your needs while you're in between from one to the next one. You might be going to a school where they say that you can't talk about God and pray and do those things, but I'm telling you, they might kick you out of one, but you can go to another. Pretty soon, the world will begin to attack the assembling of God's children in a place such as this, because The world will say that we present false hope. For how can you be hopeful in something you cannot see? We have a government that can pay you when you retire. And we have beverages and prescriptions and things and nerve medication that can keep you calm. This false hope that these people give, these crazy people that go to that church, those people jumping around and talking and stuff I've never listened to before. I'm not saying things that you've never heard. In some way, in some form, you know somebody who said it, or know somebody that knows somebody who said it. They've taken God out of the government. They've taken God out of the schools. Where do you think is next? It's time that we better start taking a stand today. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. That means tell him even if it hurts. That means if you failed, admit that you failed. Don't cover it up. Don't do a lie after another lie after another lie. I've had to come to this realization on my job because you just can't know everything in information technology. You just can't. And I've told people, if I don't know, I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend like I do. Because if I do, the moment you try to use what I said, when everything goes wrong, it's my fault. When you live in a lie after a lie after a lie, when everything goes wrong, there's no one else to blame but you. You can blame the preacher for bringing it out and making you feel bad about who you are, but it has nothing to do with what you've already done. All God wants you to do is realize that you can change it, come to an altar and repent so that you can turn from the way of wickedness. We make wickedness to sound like such a bad thing, but I'm telling you, everybody suffers wickedness in different ways. Bad thought. I believe it even says in the Bible that if you even look upon another person and lust for them, to that is adultery. That's why pornography has such a hold on the world today. Men can't love their wives because they're too focused on the lust of their flesh. Women giving up on their husbands. Women going out to meet other men because their husband isn't doing what they need to do. Wickedness is coming, church. I'm getting right in where we are. I'm not looking at anybody and saying anybody's there, but I'm telling you, if you do not walk by the Spirit, you are subject to temptation. The only way you overcome temptation is by the anointing of God. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to what? The devil. Let him steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. That means you could have made better money stealing. But God says, go and do the thing which is honest. And you might not have a big paycheck there, but I'll bless you with greater beyond what you could have stole. There's people, you see them on TV, they say, I can make a better living sitting on my couch selling pills than I can going out and working a job. They're living a life of wickedness, and there is no end to how the enemy is working in their lives. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what? Good to the use of edifying. So let's put that in plain speak. If you can't say anything good, then don't say anything. There's been some times where I've been troubled in my spirit, but I had enough sense to know to be quiet. We don't like that, I know. And God can quicken you to help you in conversation. To where that you can be honest and not be angry. You might be upset with a loved one, but he can show you a way that you can be honest without wrath.
That's true.
And that is the long-suffering of God. Yes. Being able to demonstrate your boldness without the demonstration of wrath. Getting your point across without driving them away. That's what a lot of holiness preaching has done over the years. Yeah. People feel condemned to die to come into church because they got a tattoo at some point in their life. People feel condemned to die because of something somebody preached to them 10 years ago. You can't talk them into coming back in the doors because they're so afraid that the situation that they were in then is going to be the same experience when they come in now. And that's why that when they have these huge churches that people feel comfortable going into them because they don't feel like that somebody's going to judge them and single them out. When you talk to people that go to bigger churches like that, the number one thing they always say is, I feel comfortable. I feel like I can just go in and be myself. But there's a consequence to having things enlarged. If you're not guarding the borders you enlarge properly, then wickedness can come in such a way that it will overturn a church. I drive by churches all the time that are abandoned. They're not abandoned because there wasn't people willing to try. They're abandoned because wickedness overwhelmed them. There's not a temple that God ever erected he would have to stand empty. That's what lets me know that we're going to finish this thing. If he builds it, he'll fill it. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Remember that we said first things feeling, second things hearing. And when we grieve the Spirit of God, He is grieved because we know and have the knowledge of what to do, but do not do it. It's like, how many times have you told your kids before, just don't do it and you won't get hurt. Don't let that person hurt you. Don't keep going back to them, and you tell them, but yet they don't take the action that you tell them. And you're grieved because you know they know a better way. But they're choosing another way. That same grief is what God feels when He sees a prophet about to bubble over, but yet they stand in fear silent. There are more ministers of God that have the anointing and power that have never preached the first word because they've looked at what people have erected as the model of a preacher. And they're too afraid that they can't do it because preachers build themselves up so big that they think nobody can do it. And they'll preach it in a way that nobody can. Never make you feel like that you're worth anything. Preach it so hard, and I'm not saying hot, I'm saying hard. You don't bring conviction by guilting people. And you don't bring it by bringing out all the faults of things they've done because you know them. You let the Holy Ghost convict them. And you do things in love. You let all bitterness go. They might not be clapping their hands when you're doing something out of love for them. Let it go. It was obviously not meant for you to have that kind of hand clapping that night. Because maybe the clapping needed to be silent so that the person that needed it could hear it. You never know when the Spirit's moving how God will move. And it's been spoken multiple times throughout the beginning, middle, and end of services to listen. To listen. We're doing really good to get to the feeling. But it's time we begin to listen. Because listening will provoke doing. But without hearing from God, we're not provoked to move. Have I went too long? Can I finish this? I have one more scripture to read to you in the last chapter, in chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 10 through 14. Now He's given them the instruction. But now He closes with what we know is one of the most powerful words that the world even knows about what Paul said. People that aren't even saved know this scripture, but they have no idea what it really means. Let's read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Hold up. If it had just been be strong, it wouldn't have been enough. Because when you're down in the valley, be strong sounds like it's mocking you. And I know we've all been there, and just say amen if you've been here. You've been in the valley, and then somebody just tells you exactly what to do. And they say, you just be strong. Hang in there. They don't get in the presence of God. They're just, oh, honey, it'll be okay. Yeah. It'll be all right. And you can tell the difference from someone that's sincere and not sincere. It's kind of like the person that says, you call me when you want to move, and I'll be there to help you move, and you call them, and they never. That's how they say that you can tell a true friend is if they'll help you move or if they'll help you paint your house, one of the two. Either one of those is just as tasking. But if it said just be strong, it wouldn't have been enough. There has to be something that provokes the strength for you to be strong at all. So we read in the Word, mark this down, take it home with you. Somebody write it down and tape it on your mirror in your bathroom. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. In the power of His might. Not my will, not my ways, not my choices, but God, let it be You that leads me. Let Your Spirit make me powerful. It's not how much you can dance that makes you strong, but it's how you'll do what God shows you when He speaks that makes you strong. Dancing is just the evidence of the feeling, but action is the evidence of hearing, right? Man, I mean, I love being in a radical church. I mean, some people only worship in tears and hands, and all they know to do is hug people and go and pray. But I love being in a radical church. I love it. But the demonstration through praise is just the evidence of the feeling. But when you begin to take action upon what you hear, that is what provokes unto good works. Not just the dance. Don't you be deceived. Don't just dance all night and think you're going to get your bills paid or that demon off of somebody. You've got to hear God and do what He speaks to you to do, because He might be telling you to put down cigarettes. He might be telling you to lay off the porn that you think you're hiding from somebody. He might be telling you to not speak in the way that you're speaking. He might be leading you in a new pathway. And if you'll do what He speaks, then the signs and wonders shall follow those that will yield fully unto the power of God. Signs and wonders do not follow those who walk with a spotted garment. Signs and wonders follow those that walk in the fullness of the Spirit, those that have been cleansed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, from the beginning of when they were saved, all through their life. A garment is a covered representation of length. And they used to have the tassels ordained with gold. They used to decorate it. The Pharisees used to walk in these long robes, defined by the law, defined, then had somebody probably get up and say, "Thou shalt wear a long garment. Thou shalt keep thyself clean shaven." Somebody standing up and just giving the rules and regulations. But God sent somebody to break the mold, didn't He? In the midst of the Pharisees, there was a man coming speaking parables, beginning to confound those that thought they knew it all through the foolishness of the parable. And they began to break their mind and their train of thought and realize that there was something that was about to bring a separation from the sins and wickedness of the world, so that we could all be made free, no longer defined by the temple and by a priest alone, but having the temple established within us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of you have been saved by the blood, redeemed by the blood, and baptized by His Spirit, that you're able to go free. If you can't praise God on that, you might as well go home. If you can't give Him praise right now, it's time to get a gut check and see what's down in here that we're following. Here's a word for some of you that are wanting to be on guard for what's to come. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. You might think it's somebody against you, but honey, it's not them against you. It's the devil trying to work against you. You might think it's your family member, your co-worker, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, but it's not any of those things. But it's something far greater than that. That until you walk in the Holy Ghost, you won't know how to fight. You'll try to talk back. You'll try to push them back. You'll try to tell them to get away, but they'll just keep coming. But I'm talking to somebody right now, that if you want to survive, you've got to be covered in the anointing of God. You've got to have every piece and portion that God anointed you to walk in. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My, my, my. We're not talking about wickedness at the bar. We're not talking about wickedness in the ditch down the road. We're talking about wickedness in places where they have power to do things that alter the course of life. I'm talking about at the government level. I'm talking about at the international level. There are things that are happening, whether you watch the news or not, is going on even in out of the side of our eyes, and wickedness is beginning to creep in over what had been previously protected by the prayers of people. And now the wickedness is going into such a degree that it's no longer just a physical declaration of territory, but it's going inside the minds of people that know God, because Satan wants to turn away God's children the same way he intended to do it in heaven. He intends to have everyone look upon him and to admire his qualities, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But we have to put on the anointing of God to see through all of it, for without it, we're fighting without a sword. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You can go home and read the rest of that chapter. I encourage you to. But I want to open up the altars tonight as they sing. But you hear me. God has spoken as much as I'm standing here. He has spoken this place. No doubt in my spirit that He has spoke. And God's question to you now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to walk out the same way that you felt when you were down, when you came in? Are we going to turn this thing around? You read, I believe it's in Philippians, press, I press toward the mark. You should read all these letters sometime and just imagine somebody under house arrest writing this. I press. I press. I'm getting my crown of life. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. This is your mark. Repentance is your way to turn it around. Repentance means the ability to turn. Turn it around tonight. Don't go out the same way that you felt. And let's be stronger in Him that when He speaks, that we're willing to do it. That's what I see as a strong person. Somebody that knows the way, hears God, and does it. Some of the best singers I've ever heard couldn't sing in key to save their life, but they obey God. Some of the greatest acts of obedience in the Bible were ridiculous to the world's eye, but they obeyed what they heard. Can you imagine walking down that street, seeing someone and taking them by the hand and saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as you have, you give unto somebody."